Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. And believe me, we are going to be talking about mind power. Do you dream? Well, all of us do. But some of us have more vivid experiences with those dreams. And what started me so many years ago on my path, my direction, were what I considered nightmares. Well, my guest today, Carrie Honia, is wonderfully educated regarding sleep and dreams. And we're going to be talking today about her publication, The Mythology of Sleep, The Waking Power of Dreams. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you not only talk about dreams and how to use them, you like to help people interpret their dreams, and you really like to utilize nature in that interpretation. You find that it is such a very good tool. You've written a number of books. You've got Nothing Bad Happens in Life, Nature's Way of Success, The Mind Mirror. You go on and on. You've got a number of different publications. And I find it fascinating that you have also been recognized for creating and building award-winning technology.
Yeah.
You've been very good at sales. And you have sort of gone beyond what maybe people would expect of someone like you. How is it that dreams became such a fascinating arena for you?
Well, I pretty much, you know, spent my life straddling both the corporate world and also doing more of a spiritual self-help sort of direction. But when I was younger, as an artist, I was really intrigued by the creativity and the process that leads one when you're open to the creative process. And I actually had a dream when I was working, and in this dream I wasn't able to find my makeup. I was getting on a plane, and I kept having this recurring dream. And obviously in daily life, if you don't have your makeup, you can always buy it at a store. But in the dream, it stopped me in my tracks. And this was, you know, 20-odd years ago, I don't know. And I felt that, you know what, maybe I had painted a face for myself that wasn't real, wasn't authentic for me. And so I kind of, you know, went back more into working with creativity. And I spent a little bit of time bringing the arts back into education. At, you know, it was sponsored by businesses that wanted to do something for the community. But I would basically do a six-week course with kids at risk of dropping out of school. And it was, you know, it was during that I kind of, you know, I would use the creative process and just watch how it allowed them to really express what they're feeling, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, from that, one of the exercises we would do is we would take some feeling. And obviously you don't want to talk to a bunch of kids in a class about what they're feeling. That kid, you know, I know there's like some parameters. But what we would do is we'd take the feeling and then we'd put it in nature. So if somebody was feeling sad, maybe they'd think of rain or something that was happening in the natural world. And what was really amazing is that no matter where you lock into nature, if you follow it cycle through, it's going to renew itself. Even a twister or a hurricane or, you know, it's all about renewal. So if kids take feelings that are difficult and then put them in nature and then follow it through, and we do it in three-line poems or whatever, you know, that just that process of following inspiration can teach a kid so much about their own direction, and they're not left to peer pressure. And to me, the dreaming process is free reign in that arena, you know.
Well, I agree. I really like one of your paragraphs in the introduction. You say, each night we drift off to sleep, believing the trials of the day have ended. Little do we realize we will awaken to a world that is upside down and topsy-turvy, as if we've entered a house of mirrors. Nothing is what it appears to be, and everything we encounter becomes a reflection of us. Dreams are such a fascinating phenomenon. Now, you stated to me before we came on air that you wanted to write this book to help people heal. Mm-hmm. Tell us, when you make that statement, what it was as your bigger objective, because this is very much like a textbook.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I was saying when we were speaking earlier, I have a basic book that's called The Mind's Mirror, and it teaches just the basic principles for anyone to understand their dreams, and it has a dictionary in it. When I wrote the Mythology of Sleep, it was because I've been analyzing dreams for over 25 years. I analyze dreams through my website for people from all over the world, and I'd say 50% are from somewhere other than the United States. And what I keep seeing as people send me their dreams is it's a hero's adventure. And just like in our myths, the hero could be, a prince who's lost and he's trying to discover his destiny, and there's weird symbols and things behave rather strangely. But in the end, the hero discovers who they are and they're able to awaken to their destiny. And I started to see this pattern unfolding. And I found kind of eight landscapes that resemble not just one group of myths. I think in this book I've visited the Norse myths, the Egyptian myths, the Greek myths, the Italian, the early Roman, mm-hmm. All of them. And also, the type of, some of the people that I would be working with they would initially start with just wanting a dream interpretation, and then they'd get into coaching. And unlike a lot of other people that do coaching or counseling with other people, I use dreams as our roadmap. And even mm-hmm. when people start working with me and say they don't dream, they do when they start working with me. And mm-hmm. it really becomes the dream that guides us in helping us understand where it is they want to go. So I pretty much put the book together based on all the research that I've encountered, finding, I kind of see it a little bit like what Joseph Campbell was doing with just straight mythology and the hero's journey, except yeah. I'm kind of tying it into dreams are a hero's journey. And so I wrote it more for people who are really suffering, people that may have some issues of not being able to forgive a caregiver, or, just all of the myths that we live by because of the beliefs that we hold and can't seem to break through. And I think that's what dreaming really is doing for us every night, is helping us to break free of our own self-restrictive boundaries so that we can, know happiness and fulfillment.
I agree, because that is what happened to me. Mm. And so many times people's nightmares are not what they're perceiving them to be. Mm-hmm. And I think you've made a very, very good point in that we all have our paradigms, whether we have adopted them because of family, friends, social environment, peer pressure, whatever may have brought them to us. We are not always aware, until we've got a little bit of living under our belt and are willing to be open, that we don't have to buy into those paradigms anymore, that we can shift them, we can change them. And that's part of what your book, The Mythology of Sleep, goes towards in its area of empowering someone. You say the mind is the organ most important to our survival and demonstrates the same organic healing processes as our body. That is so true. Mm-hmm. The mind-body connection is absolutely there. What is one of the most significant experiences that you have had with a dream?
Myself or analyzing one for others?
For yourself, on a personal level.
I think it definitely has to be that makeup dream. I have to say that I'm so aware of the dreaming process and I'm good at remembering my own dreams. And I have to say, when you asked me about this book, if you were to say, where did it come from? I would tell you it comes from my dreams. So another very important aspect of dreaming, besides just, understanding the information that's coming from somewhere to help us break through and grow, there's also a very inspiring, for creative people, I guess, I would say it has to be that I'll dream of something, and then I'll try to track it down over a period of a couple weeks, and it becomes a story. And mm-hmm. and I have to say, in putting this together, it wasn't, obviously I've spent a lot of time in comparative religion and world mythology and symbolism and all that, just because it's so important to dream analysis. But as far as, I couldn't have known that the last chapter of this book, once we land in China, would completely, you know, revisit the seven prior, you know, symbols, that mm-hmm. unified sort of thing. So to me, that's very profound that, you know, that you can be inspired by your dreams with something that could tell a story of its own, I guess. I don't know if that answers your question.
Cultural environments have a tremendous impact on the psyche. And in my interaction with people, I have found if they've been adopted or maybe they've been a part of a cultural environment and all the old ones, the wise ones, have passed on and nobody's really interested in keeping up with a particular cultural basis, and yet they'll have those symbols come in that often are just, I think, a genetic imprint that's utilized. These have quite a significance because every culture has its heroes. Mm-hmm. And all of these various personalities, personas, have been around for centuries, and dependent on a person's education, they may or may not have an impact in their dreaming cycle. You have a wonderful story about a young man, a man, Michael, mm-hmm. and he was HIV positive for 15 years, and yet he kept having these shadows coming into his dreams. Tell us about Michael.
Well, Michael, his story is part of the warrior landscape that I painted with some of the Norse mythology. It's somebody who is unable to be present because they're running from something. And if you remember the story of Odin, this is all the inspiration for the Lord of the Rings, by the way, but basically he wants to see the future. He plucks out an eye to do so. He meditates, and pretty soon in knowing the future, he knows that all of the gods are going to be doomed to this, you know, death. And mm-hmm. he's described in the story as becoming melancholy and you know, just trying, not accepting the fate, but trying to overturn it or whatever. So back to Michael, he sort of becomes that same character. He's, you know, not all of us are given our death sentence. I mean, certainly we're all going to die, but to be told in the future, you know, that something bad like this could happen, I mean, obviously that's got to be a very difficult thing for anyone to deal with. And I think, you know, everybody's story is different, and luckily they have a lot of medication, and Michael's, you know, still around and very, you know, busy. And but mm-hmm. I think and the reason I tied this story together is because he can't be present, because he doesn't want to incorporate the experience for what it might teach him in the present. He's just very caught up in the future and building an empire. And so when somebody's not facing something in daily life, a lot of the times that becomes the fodder for their dream life. And Michael's dreams would be, yes, the shadow character. And regardless, like you were saying earlier, even when we have what would be called a nightmare, I say the louder the dream, the more we need to wake up. It's not mm-hmm. that something bad's going to happen. It's
right.
just that we remember it because it was so unsettling to our psyche. So dreams mm-hmm. are like earthquakes in that way. And, you know, when Michael describes the dream of skinny man chasing him, anybody would say, well, that's a very, you know, real fear of what you're going through. But what was interesting is that he couldn't see the correlation. So with Michael's story, you know, he in order to heal, he needs to be present, recognize, you know, what his life is about, incorporating this into it, instead of living in fear and instead of being chased by his own shadow. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Elephants.
Mm-hmm.
You use the stories or the symbolisms relative to that time in history in Rome, and elephants had a tremendous effect on Roman history. I mean, after all, Hannibal brought these elephants that had never known anything below 85 degrees into horrific snow conditions and other things, and was just an amazing, amazing man. But elephants in many different cultures represent a very, very powerful symbol. Let's talk mm-hmm. about what the elephant represents.
Well, the first elephant that comes to mind as a symbol is Ganesh from Hindu mythology or Hindu beliefs. But he's kind of like a Bacchus Jupiter sort of character in that, they have there's a lot of deities in the Hindu religion, and he's a very powerful one. There's in dreams, and it's funny you should bring that up because I do have an iPhone application coming out that's a basic dream dictionary, and I talk about the elephant as a symbol. When you look at, there are some very ancient dream interpretation books like Zohar. There's some that come from Taoism, and they talk about symbols as like almost like fortune cookies. If you dream of this, and that means that's going to happen. And I used elephant as an example. I think in one of the ones that I saw, they were saying if you dream of an elephant, it means you drink too much. Or so there's, you know, everybody has their own interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you know, and this goes to my first rule of dream interpretation. Everything is a reflection of you. If you dream of an elephant, then the dream is having there's an exploratory process going on about you that looks like or feels like an elephant. So let's just look at the elephant. It has a memory. It has an emotional, you know, they say that elephants are very much like us in terms of emotion. They harbor feelings and, mm-hmm. And they're also very protective, like if you, you know, kind of like going to the bear, you know, chasing people because of their children or, so the mammalian elephant, the feeling, the emotion, you start to get that sort of flavor and texture. So, you know, if somebody was to dream of an elephant, I would say maybe you want to consider, first and foremost, if they are reflecting your feelings, why did you choose the elephant? Well, if an elephant comes charging at you, you're dead. It's going to mm-hmm. trample you. I don't think there's anything bigger and more powerful, you know, that would be running across the land than an elephant. So it ties together the sense that maybe there are some feelings that are below the surface, and by not allowing them expression, they could trample over you. So I sort of kind of captured the, you know, the whole symbolism of the elephant and all of its aspects. So if you were to look in my dream dictionary and read about the elephant, it would be coaching you to think about things related to the mother, you know, a huge amount of feeling that might be below the surface that can threaten to trample over you if you don't allow it expression, that sort of thing.
One of your points is a very good one, and that is every one of us looks at things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've worked with people and their dreams, I have asked them, what kind of symbolism does this represent to you mm-hmm. when you think of it? Because one person might have an image of a dark horse in their dream, and they just love horses, and they think that means power and freedom, and they just love it. Another person could have a dream about a dark horse and be terribly, terribly frightened mm-hmm. because maybe they see horses as something that's bigger than they are, and they just can't cope with that, or they've had a bad accident with them or something. Mm-hmm. You just never know. And I have been so intrigued always by the way the human mind works, because I find that it has so many variables. It's just absolutely fascinating. And a lot of the cultures, the way they associate with animals. I know that I've interacted with Native Americans and other peoples from all over the world, and frequently what they relate to in symbols have a great deal to do with the cultural environment that they are attached to. Mm-hmm. And it really can have a significant difference in the way you would work with it and the way you would interpret it. For example, the coyote and the man-maker. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. That's one of your stories here. What mm-hmm. culture is that from? American Indian?
Yeah, it's from the American Indian, actually. I feel that's in the middle of the book, and there's a lot of humor in their mythology. So it's kind of the comic relief.
mm-hmm.
That really is.
They just have, you know, the aspect of man and animal interacting. Mm-hmm. It's quite fascinating.
And coyote is a trickster, and the trickster is not solely in American Indian mythology. The trickster could be Hermes from the Greek mythology. It can be Loki from Norse mythology. So there's tricksters, and the trickster is the it's kind of like the comedian in society, the person, you know, that one who's not afraid to say something when everybody's getting too serious. And so I used the coyote and trickster part of the dreamscape, let's say, as that part of us that can see when we're getting too full of ourselves and sort of pulls the carpet out from under us. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a good point, too, in dream analysis. I'm always amazed. Certainly dreams are unique to the individual, but the comedy and the genius that everybody has in producing a symbol that can mean so many different things to them. It's like an onion. No matter where you peel it, it's kind of saying the same thing. And that's what I see trickster in, you know, that part of the psyche that's, you know, it's like you go to an important presentation, you look down and you got on two different shoes, you know, or the dreams of being in your underwear or trying to go to the bathroom and the wall's not tall enough, or, mm-hmm. you know, that there does seem to be this comical side of dreams that when all else fails, they just make us look at ourselves with all of our ridiculous desire to just be perfect and absolute in our ideas, you know?
Mm-hmm. Again, your book is filled with all of these wonderful stories, and you sort of connect the dots, which I think is terrific.
Thank you.
The medicine man of almost every culture or shaman, whatever terminology you would want to use, usually went through years and years of training to be able to understand how to interpret the life and the environment that was around them so it could be useful, because they were considered a custodian of mm-hmm. the people they were a part of. And often animals were used as a way of getting points across to people. They were a teaching tool. And I think in the dream world, many times the symbols that create themselves over and over again are there for a reason. They're there because, like you said earlier, it's to grab your attention,
mm-hmm.
to make you pay attention. And if you wake up sweating bullets and feeling like your heart is pounding 10,000 miles an hour and you're dripping in sweat and you go, whoa, that was quite a dream. It has made an imprint on your conscious mind. There's no way you're going to be able really to ignore it, because it sort of haunts you when you have that kind of a dramatic experience. I know, because I've gone through that. And when that happens, it is so good to be curious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about your book. Because you show so many different aspects of thought that enable someone that really wants to become more knowledgeable about dreams to work with them comfortably, with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our dream world can bring that integrity to us that maybe we are yearning for,
mm-hmm.
and we just haven't been able to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. I call dreams the Trojan horses of the psyche. Or when people say to me, well, if dreams are so important, why are they so weird? You know, why is the symbolism so bizarre and so unlike what I'm experiencing? And it's exactly that, your own mind's ability to find a way in through this, you know, oh, that can't hurt me. It's just that I don't know what it is. It's something stupid and bizarre. And that's kind of, you know, the Trojan horse that's able to be brought inside of the gates because
mm-hmm.
it didn't look like a threat. You know, and you brought up another good point, too, in talking about the medicine man and coyote and all that. You know, every culture has and had a different way of sharing their beliefs or traditions or whatever. And what comes out in the American Indian culture and using the coyote stories or all of these semi-humorous stories, you know, they were teaching a ritual in a non-rote manner. You know, it was like the cycle of this, it's a way of learning that's not just do as I say and don't ask questions. It's like bringing a little humor, bringing all the different emotions and texture into helping to teach one the ritual.
I agree. And one of my favorite stories in the book was the dove's egg.
Oh, that's
I enjoyed that so much.
Those are cute, yeah.
Yeah, it really is cute. What culture did that come from, the dove?
That came out of the Indian, East Indian culture. That was with Gopal Bhar, Cures a Dreamer, and then the dove's egg. They're two different stories about cause and effect.
Yes.
And in the dove's egg, it's a chain of actions happen. Nobody wants to get involved. And in the end, everyone's involved. So it's kind of just showing that sort of message.
But I agree. And I find it so fascinating because in the dove's egg, it shows persistence by the dove because her egg is stolen. And she knows who's stolen it. And nobody wants to hold that person accountable or to do whatever is necessary to help the dove until she finds a little ant. And that little ant said, sure, this is a little itsy-bitsy thing compared to everything else you had talked to. And finally, the farmer's wife returns the egg.
Because of all the calamity that's unleashed.
That's right. And it's just, there's just so many wonderful, wonderful stories. You have the fire of creation in here. You have another aspect called the healing journey, and this is involving Julian. And then you have the mythology of dis-ease, and it's
right.
about Kelly. And you've also mentioned someone by the name of Jane. And
obviously, these names are not real.
Mm-hmm, right. And it's just fascinating. All of the involvements that go on with different people. And that's what makes life so, I think, so intriguing. Because once you think you've got one venue figured out, then somebody pops up and says, oh, but you haven't heard my story.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go off on a dream journey, a dream adventure with a person.
And that's
how has this affected your life?
That's what really, you know, it inspires me to share. It is an interesting journey, and in many ways, and you bring up the dove's egg, I mean, our lives are very connected, and, you know, with the idea of disease, and, disease is uneasiness, and if we have, if we accept the idea of psychosomatic, you know, something, a lot of times you hear of people, you know, they're not able to get any kind of diagnosis. Nothing physically ever comes out and tests to show why they're having these symptoms. And yet these symptoms are very, very debilitating. And at some point, and this is very common, and the more you talk to people, and this is something I see a lot, is that, you know, once people slow down, stop, maybe that's what happens, is the illness kind of stops them for a little while so that they can really reevaluate. Maybe they're on the wrong path. You know, but we have this willingness to say, okay, there's something called psychosomatic illness. We're able to, the mind is very powerful, and it stops us in our tracks while we deal with something that has become diseasiness in our soul or in our feelings or whatever. And in the same way, dreams to me are a psychosomatic healing process, because as we sleep, this healing is taking place. And, you know, many people don't remember their dreams, and it's not important to remember your dreams. Your body is still healing itself through all this imagery. It's like another sensory organ. It's a way of understanding life from a different perspective. And if we do remember our dreams, or if we take an active approach in understanding them, we seem to be able to fast forward our evolution in the sense of growth. You know, but another thing too with dreams is I tell people, you don't need to remember everything. And just the other day when you were mentioning working with other people, I had someone submit a dream that was probably the most complicated dream that I had ever seen. But dreams are like onions, and no matter, you don't have to remember all of it, because what you'll find is if you lay it all out in 17 paragraphs or however, no matter how complex, it's the same message being said over and over in different ways and different landscapes and with different symbols, but the message is the same.
Yes,
for the dreamer.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who really would like to get more involved with the study of dreams, I'd recommend you go to her website, wayofdreams.com, and her book, The Mythology of Sleep, is something that will make you aware of so many different environments of experience that people have gone through and how they were able to work through some of it. because of understanding the symbology in the dreams and also being aware of the myths that are carried forward. And they're in our psyches, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. We absorb a lot more than we realize. So the mind uses whatever is going to get your attention. Carrie, honey, I'm so glad you were my guest today. Thank you very much. The Mythology of Sleep, The Waking Power of Dreams is a marvelous book. And I wish you continued success in everything that you do.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too, Carrie. This is Donna Sebo. Again, go to her website, wayofdreams.com. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at what you'll be able to do for yourself. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment with some other good things to share. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, and if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here is the toll-free telephone number to call in to. All I need is your first name or your initial, and of course, I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you'll be able to ask a question about anything that may be significant to you. 888-815-9756. Well, this microphone is going to be traveling tomorrow to Safety Harbor, Florida. I will be there until Monday, and then I'll be back here in my office broadcasting live. But I also wanted to let you know that on Friday, now tomorrow we're going to be having a guest, Kareem Ishmal. He has a wonderful book called Keep Any Promise. Now, Kareem had been scheduled to be on with me last month, and he became very, very sick and wasn't able to do the show. So we've got him scheduled for tomorrow. So we'll be talking with him live from Safety Harbor, Florida. And then on Friday, TTAP, Teresa Tapp. You know, she's one of my favorite people and how much she's affected my life with her physical fitness program. It has been wonderful. And I just want to invite you, tell your friends, come on, stand by, listen to our interview, because we may be talking with the family that was mentioned by Lisa about a week or so ago when we were chatting about the upcoming retreat. I'm going to have a chance perhaps to talk with them. We've got some medical people that are going to be there talking about their latest changes with health and nutrition. So on Friday at the TTAP retreat, we're going to be interviewing some people that have really had first right-on-the-line experiences like I have and are reaping the benefits. So it's really going to be quite an exciting week. Next week, we have got a wonderful lineup of people. And by the way, on BBS, all of my upcoming guests are listed. We have a couple of days, the guests, I'm waiting for information back from them to be sure that they're going to be booked in. So when you see something there on the schedule that says to be announced, it means that someone has not confirmed yet, and so I haven't put that information in there. But next week we're going to be talking about shifting, how to change your words, you can change your life. Janet Smith Warfield is going to be my guest. And then if you're like me, where it seems like all of your life you've had to battle that chunky bulge on the bod, well, we're going to be talking with a wonderful woman, Susan Burke March. Her book is just great. It says, Making Weight Control Second Nature, so that you're comfortable with it. You don't feel like you're being deprived. It's really great. And then one of my favorite people always, Richard Bach. You know him because of the phenomenal book Illusions, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Richard is such a wonderful, wonderful man. He's been on my show before. He's come out with a new book called Hypnotizing Maria. And I got a copy of this when I was back on the East Coast in June, and I was mesmerized. It's just absolutely wonderful. It is such a quality book. So Richard Bach is going to be on with me on Wednesday of next week, and then we're going to be talking with Andrew Harvey, The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism. I think you're going to find it interesting. And then Christine Jenkins is going to be my guest next Friday, Sign Language for Everyone. Now, you may not be able to see the sign language because we're on radio, but I think you're going to find her story quite interesting. This woman goes around the world teaching sign language and shares why it is such valuable information to have. It enables communication in otherwise impossible levels in certain environments. So we've got a great lineup of guests. So if you want to find out more about who's going to be on the show, all you need to do is go right in to bbsradio.com, find the Donna Sebo Show, and you'll be able to get the guest list right there. Check it out, and you'll see who's going to be coming up. Okay, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. Are you a texter? I have to tell you, I'm not. I have enough on my plate without having to go around trying to make my thumbs work 50,000 miles an hour just to text something. And I know for of the younger generation, it's something they just absolutely love. But I'll tell you, I've met some people that are middle-aged and even older that just think texting is absolutely the greatest stuff. They are going at it all the time. Well, there's been a lot of concern about drivers. And for me, it just has not made sense that people are going to try to text while they're driving. It's absolutely ridiculous. The mind-hand-brain coordination just doesn't work in symphony as it should. Well, apparently there is going to be a ban, a law, that is going to be passed. Now, Virginia Tech Transportation Institute did a study finding that when drivers texted, their collision risk was 23 times greater than when not texting. Well, we all know how bad that can be with cell phones. I can't tell you how many times people have been so busy gabbing, men and women both, on cell phones, and they're not paying attention to anything that's going on around them. They're just in their brain world of the cell phone. Well, texting is much worse. Now, when you're dialing a cell phone and using or reaching for an electronic device, that automatically increases the chance for collision about 6 times. You text while you're driving 23 times worse. So if you have a passenger, let them text. You don't do it. Now, lawmakers apparently are trying to push for a ban, and they're using another report by the Car and Driver magazine that found that texting and driving is even more dangerous than drunken driving. Now, apparently, it's grown from nearly 10 billion messages a month, texting, that's right, 10 billion messages a month in December 2005. That's what it was in December 2005. December of 2008, it had exploded to 110 billion messages. 110 billion messages. How do they know this? The Cellular Phone Industry's trade group. They keep the numbers on it. Now think about this. If you've been doing this while you're driving, that's not too smart. Now apparently there are 14 states and the District of Columbia that have already passed laws making texting while driving illegal. The question is, how are you going to enforce it? How are you going to know that someone is doing that? Now, cell phones are already a visible thing, but now you've got devices that if you have them, you have hands free. So people don't see a cell phone up to your ear. But it's fascinating to me how many people I see today that are very preoccupied with that. So it's just a word to the wise. If nothing else, have consideration for someone else. If you're texting, if you're using your cell phone while you're driving, you are really going to be creating a potential problem. And when you're on the freeway or in any environment and you need to be alert as to what's going on around you, remember that texting, 23 times more than normal, the chance for you to be in an accident. So be wise here. Don't do it. And if you have a passenger doing it, that's fine. Give it over to someone else, but don't do it yourself. Just isn't safe. Donna Siebel here, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, I thought I would share with you some fun stories, this one in particular. This one I was so intrigued with because it's about an inventor that disappeared. Do you like odd stories? I do. I'm just intrigued with them. Now, we're going to go back to the 1890s. There is a Louis LaPrence. He was the original inventor of motion pictures. That's right, the original inventor of motion pictures. And this guy vanished from a moving train and a future of fame. Yes, he actually just totally disappeared. Now, 5 months before his disappearance, he was at the Paris Opera House. He made history by revealing to a very small audience his revolutionary technique for making motion pictures. Now, he was returning to Paris after he visited his brother in Dijon and then was going to be going on to New York, where his wife had already acquired everything that was necessary to showcase his spectacular achievement. He held patents in both Britain and the United States, and this very, very famous photographic pioneer was the very first individual that was able to project pictures, the very first to use celluloid film rather than the traditional glass plates. He was the first to develop the perforated film strips that we've all seen, and he invented a 16-lens projector. This man was a genius. Now, when he disappeared, his patents were infringed upon, made invalid. The family was just in a horrible situation because nothing could be done to fight against this until he was pronounced legally dead. And then it was too late. Now, he was over 6'3" in height, and he was very dapper. His brother was the last one to see him alive, and he boarded the train with his equipment in his luggage. He never made it to Paris. The British and the French police conducted an exhaustive investigation, but neither his body nor his belongings were ever recovered. Louis LaPrence, the father of cinematography, disappeared, period. Not one little itsy-bitsy trace of him. But where his name was not out there, now it is. More and more people are finding out about this phenomenal man. Wonder what happened. Who knows? They still haven't figured it out. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And by the way, my newsletter is going to be going out before I leave for Florida, so you will be able to have it, and it will be online within 48 hours. So I wanted to let you know about that. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hello, and welcome again. 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow, Kareem H. Ishmael, Keep Any Promise. That's what we're going to be discussing, and I invite you to join me. I think that you will have a great time, and more than that, we're going to be learning some things that will make our lives a little bit richer with insight. Our topic in the first half of the hour was dream mythology. Well, I think that it's fun to know about history. Always have felt that history has so much to give us if we're willing to open up our eyes and our senses to pay attention to what the experiences of others have been. Dreams for me throughout my life have been very, very significant. And I think whenever you are a vivid dreamer, it gets to be a bit perplexing until you come to that point of understanding that you can use them as a tool to empower yourself. Your subconscious usually tries to get through to you mentally in whatever image is going to have that shock impact that's going to affect you and get your attention. Well, it's not just getting your attention on an emotional level. There are all kinds of people that have had dreams. Thomas Edison trained himself so he would go into an altered state of dreaming and get resolutions to problems. You have many, many people that have used dreams to help them achieve what they want. There's many people who have been writers who have gotten stories out of dreams. Well, Galen, who was a historically famous surgeon and physician to the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius, he cured himself with the help of a dream. He also became a doctor because of a dream. His father had received instructions in what they called the night vision, that's what they called it centuries ago, from Asclepius, the god of medicine, that Galen should pursue a career in that field. So Galen studied mathematics, logic, philosophy, and then began medical training. Now, Roman law forbade dissection on human bodies. So he would work with apes, dogs, cows, pigs, whatever was around him, since he wasn't allowed to work on people. And he voluntarily extended his insight and understanding about the human body because he was a physician to gladiators, and you can imagine the horrific wounds that they experienced. Well, he became very famous because of his adeptness with the area of medicine, and he was a strong believer in considering the dreams of his patients as a factor in their treatment. Now, this is how he cured himself of a problem, and this was recorded. One night, approximately AD 159, he heard a voice in his dream instructing him to cut the artery that lay between his forefinger and his thumb, and thereby end the chronic pain he suffered between his liver and midriff. Now, in his belief system, he felt that was a voice of God. So Galen followed the instructions, and his ailment disappeared. There are so many people that have had experiences, so many people that have gone through and written out the dreams that they have had, and they say, I don't know why it happened this way. I had a client in San Diego, California, a few years back, where she had a dream where she was on a plane. She saw the plane's number on the outside. She knew where it was coming in for a flight, and it was coming into California. And she said, Donna, I awakened. I had all of this information. The plane was going to crash, and I knew this because of a mechanical failure. So she thought, there's nobody I can tell this information to, and she went back to sleep, and her clock radio went off about 7 o'clock in the morning, and they were making the announcement about this plane that had crashed. Same number, all of the circumstances. She asked me the question, why me? I usually don't dream very much. Why is it that I had this dream, Donna? It's so clear, it was so specific. And the only thing I knew to tell her was, we all are like radios. We send and receive information all the time. Not unlike how you connect with a computer to the internet. You have to hit the activate button. You have to turn it on. Sometimes people have their off button on most of the time. For some reason, hers was turned on. This was a situation that was in the process of happening. Oddly, she didn't have anything or anyone she could talk to about it. But she saw something in the process of it happening. She had tuned in to the right channel. She was seeing the program of action as it was going to unfold. This has happened time and time and time and time again. So many times it's just amazing. And when you become more skilled with your own dream interpretation, you will realize that your dream can hold the past, the present, and the future. It can hold a solution to a problem. It can make you aware of things that are potentially in the works, and you just need to understand that you're being made aware of it. As I said earlier, it was what I considered a nightmare that started me on my journey of self-discovery in the psychic area. Without the series of dreams that I had had, I doubt if I would have paid attention to certain things that I really needed to pay attention to. Because I was of this mindset that I was going to be this long-suffering person and continue in my choices that I had made because I felt that's what all of it there was. I really didn't have any options. Well, when you're young, you think that way, but I realized I did have options. And I had options that enabled me to make changes. But that's the reason I met my mentor, and my life after that went on to an entirely different direction. Because my mentor was able to interpret it and show me what I could not perceive myself because I was so stuck in my own mental confusion and muck. We all go through it. Remember, you are the best person you can invest in. And when you take time to explore, when you take time to investigate your own mind, you're going to find some fascinating resources available to you. And you're going to become a much richer person because of it. Well, I know we are out of time. Tomorrow, again, this microphone will be traveling to Safety Harbor, Florida, and I will be there live and broadcasting with Kareem Ishmal on Keep Any Promise. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Have a fabulous day, and don't forget, you can interpret your own dreams. Try it. I think you'll like it. It's a great way to be aware of yourself on a whole different level. Donna Siebel here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.